We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi Ben Menachem, Nishem Chaim Yaakov, and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Chala Paragimel Mishnah. Hey, going to discuss the dough of a non-Jew. A non-Jew obviously doesn't have the mitzvah of challah, but if a non-Jew gives a dough to a Jew, the Mishnah is going to teach us that generally speaking, that is exempt from challah, because it's arisoseichem, only dough that belongs to you. But that's also only in a case where the dough becomes obligated in challah when it's in the ownership of the non-Jew, as we spoke about when it came to Hekdesh. The Mishnah says, Oved kochavim shenasan liyisrael lasos loisa, non-Jew, hires a Jew to bake him bread. So he gives the Jew the flour that's necessary. So the Mishnah says, Ptur ban achala. The fact that it was prepared, it was baked by a Jew, doesn't matter. It's exempt from achala because the ownership of it, the owner is the flour belongs to the non-Jew. The Jew is doing it on behalf of the non-Jew. So, therefore, this is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of chala. No need to separate. Son alo matana. So let's say, though, what happened the following case. As the Jew is preparing the non-Jew's dough, as in the previous case, the non-Jew said, you know what? I'm giving to this Jew as a gift. This is yours. So now it belongs to the Jew. So it matters, obviously, when the mixing took place, when the chiv of challah is supposed to set in. Ad shelo gilgel chayef. If what happened, if before the Jew had mixed it very well, remember we spoke about wheat, where it's mixed, very thoroughly mixed, when it comes to barley, it's where you pack it down. So if it's the Jew had not yet mixed the dough, mixed the flour and the water well, so then chayef. So then he's going to be chayef because the chiyuv of challah sets in now when it's in the ownership of the Jew. He gave it to him as a gift. And now after giving him a gift, the Jew now prepares the challah. It's his, prepares the dough. It's his own dough. And therefore he has to separate challah. Umisha gilgel. But if the Jew had already prepared and mixed it very well, and only then the non-Jew said where the chiyuv of challah would have set in. But at that point, it was under the ownership of the non-Jew, and only then the non-Jew says, "I'm giving this to you as a gift." Then Pater, the Jew does not have to separate a challah. Mishnah continues, Ha'ose isa im ha'oved kochavim. Let's say now you have a Jew who's preparing a dough with the non-Jew. What does he have? He has two portions of flour. One is his, and the other is a non-Jew. So part of the dough belongs to the Jew, part of the non-Jew. We know that the non-Jew's portion of flour in that mixture is going to be exempt from challah. The question is, what does the Jew do with his own? So the Mishnah says, with that portion that belongs to him, im ein mishel yisrael kishiur challah, p'tura min ha-challah. So this is the way it works. If the Jew's portion in this dough doesn't have the 1 1/4 kaf of flour, it means it has less than the amount that normally would be chayv in challah, it's exempt from challah. The fact that the non-Jew's portion in this mixture now makes it more than 5 1/4 of a kaf doesn't matter because his part is not going to be chayv. Now, that implies as well, the Mishnah is teaching us that let's say if the Jew's portion obviously has that amount, 1 1/4 kav, besides, separate from what the non-Jew, the flour, brings into the mixture. So then he's going to be chayv to separate challah. And the fact that a non-Jew has a portion of the ownership of this whole dough doesn't make a difference. That is, that's what the Mishnah says. Now, the Gemara in Chulin, on Daf, Kuf Lamed Hey discusses this issue, and the Mefarshim point to the Gemara over there, where the Gemara seems to say, if you have a dough that a non-Jew has ownership in it with a Jew, it's Patur from Challah. So that's obviously a question on the Mishnah. Mishnah seems to indicate that it's not necessarily so. If they own it in a partnership, if the amount of the portion of the Jew was 5 1/4 of a kav, that is chayv in Challah. So how do we understand this Mishnah? So some explain that's very simple. That Gemara is speaking about a case where the amount that the Jew has, the Jew's portion, is less than 1 1/4 kaf. And that's why the Gemara says, implies that if a Jew and a non-Jew have a dough in ownership, it's going to be potter. And others say, no, It is true, as the Gemara in Chulin says, if you have a dough where a Jew and a non-Jew have a joint ownership of it, it's patur from challah. But that's not the case in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not where they have it in joint ownership. What happened here is that the Jew and the non-Jew each contribute a certain amount of flour to make a large dough. So they don't share the ownership of the dough. Each one, it's going to be mixed together, but we don't look at this as a shutfus. So, and therefore it doesn't have the exemption of the Gemara and Chulin. Here, they're partners only because they each have a portion in what's going to be one mass. So the dough couldn't be is not viewed as joint ownership and doesn't have the regular exemption. It's like two portions within that are part of that become one entity, but each portion is considered independent in terms of its chiyuv, and therefore the Jew's portion, assuming it has the amount that necessarily 1 1/4 kav, is going to be a chayiv because he's considered the sole owner of that which he has. One other thing. Mishnah says, the implication of the Mishnah as well, is that let's say you have two Jews that are making a dough together. So then it's going to be chayv and challah, even if each one's share is less than 1 1/4 kaf, 5 1/4 of the kaf. Why? Because the Mishnah seems to imply it's only because the non-Jew is involved in this partnership. Had the other person been a Jew, it wouldn't make a difference. We would then view this, the portions as if they were combining together, and that's why such a mixture would be chayv in challah. Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav, going to speak about a ger, a convert. Gershon is Gaier Bahoiseloisa. You have a convert, and he had a dough. So, when he was not Jewish, he wasn't Chayv and Challah. Now that he's Jewish, maybe it should be Chayv and Challah. So the Mishnah says that if the Gershon is Gaier Bahoiseloisa, he had a dough, so he made the dough when he was not Jewish. Nasisat Shalon is Gaier Putter. So if the dough was made before he became a Ger, it's exempt from Challah, obviously. Umishin is Gaier, but if he only became a dough, and therefore the chiyuv of challah was established when he was Jewish already, after he converted, then it's going to be chayv. Vim safek. But let's say he's not sure. He's not sure whether he was, the dough was prepared before he converted, or afterwards. So what should we do? So the Mishnah says chayv. You are going to be chayv to separate challah out of a safek, and we'll explain that in a moment. Vein chayv v'alei chomesh, but you're not obligated to add the extra fifth, which we'll explain as well. So what does it mean if there's a safek, he's going to be chayv? So this is the general rule. This is a safek isur l'chumra, safek midor isur l'chumra. It's a safek here. We have a case. The chiyuv of challah is certainly a mitzvah doraisa, and the isur of eating tevel is an isur doraisa. So therefore, we're going to be strict. Now, there is some discussion about this, because what would that imply nowadays? So the Shach says that, well, if today, if Chal is only in Durabban, or let's say even in Chutz Laretz, in the days of old. So if it's only mean Durabbanon, so we would then should apply the principle of Safek Durabbanon Lakula. But many poskim disagree with the Shach, and say then even nowadays, if you have a Safek, in this case of the Ger, whether you're Chayv, it's not, by the way, it's not only a case of the Ger, any Safek would treat the same way. Safek Daraisa Lakula, Safek Durabbanon Lakula, when it comes to Chala. So nowadays, maybe we should go Lakula. So many of the poskim say, no, we are not lenient in case is where we're not certain whether there's a chiyuv of challah. Why? Because eating tevel, which is the status before you separate the challah, so that's we take that very seriously. If it were d'oraisa, it would misa v'idei shamayim, and therefore, even midrabbanon, in case of drabbanon, we're going to be strict. So there, many poskim make that point as well. Now, the Rishonim also have a discussion about one other issue. When it comes to this case of the case of the non-Jew, so there is reason to view this as in a case of suffolk, where we should say maybe we should be lenient. Why should that be so? And many will say that me d'oraisa, there is no chiyuv to be strict in a case of suffolk. Now, normally we are. But why would you argue that here maybe we should not be strict, even though it's a suffix in a case of a d'oraisa? And that's because of the principle of chazaka. Here we have someone, he's not Jewish. So the dough in the present state when he's not Jewish is clearly not chayiv and challah. In order to, that's the chazaka, the meikara, that's the original, that's the initial chazaka, presumptive status that he has. So until we can prove otherwise, that he has converted, and this became dough only when he converted, so we look at the previous chazaka, and therefore maybe we should have the right to be lenient. Once again, the reason we are going to be strict in such a case is because of the isser of Tevel, and we take Tevel very seriously. So even if we view, on the one hand, we have chazaka telling us that we could have the right to be lenient, but we have the general isser of Tevel, where we try to be strict, and that's why in Suffolk you're going to be chayiv to separate challah. Now, but the Mishnah concluded, but you're not chayiv. The Mishnah then said, rather, you're not chayiv a chomesh. What does that mean? So here, if you remember, we spoke about a non-kohen who bishogig eats challah or eats truma. So the halacha is you have to pay the chol, you have to pay the principal, the keren, and the chomesh. You have to pay that which you ate, and you have to pay a fifth as well. So in the case of Suffolk, where a non-kohen ate this challah, so he's chayiv to pay the principal. Why? Because here that's a dine mamonos halacha. There he ate something against halacha, and it belonged to a kohen. So he has to pay the kohen back. He has to the family of kohenim need to get their principal, need to get the amount of that challah back. But to add a fifth onto which we normally add on when you eat truma b'shogig or challah b'shogig, that you don't have to do. That's a penalty. So a penalty we're not going to impose upon you where you do something, where we have a case of a suffix. We do that when you need atonement. But if I'm not sure if you need atonement at all, there'd be no reason to have you add on the chomesh. And the Mishnah then says, that Rabbi Akiva disagrees with almost everything we've said in the many, many Mishnais. Rabbi Akiva Omer, hakol holech achar HaKrim HaBatanur. Everything follows literally when it makes turns into a crust in the oven. Rabbi Akiva is telling us when it comes to the chiyuv of challah. Let's go back to the case of the ger. So we said, it depends. When was the chiyuv of challah established? Was he non-Jewish at that time? Or did he become Jewish at that time? What was that time period? We said, when you gilgul, when you mixed it together. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not true. He says, it does not depend whether it was very much, it was mixed, it was needed before or after he converted. He says, the dough doesn't become chayv and challah at that moment, at the moment of mixing. And the chayv challah sets in, according to Rabbi Akiva, when you bake it into bread. It becomes crusty in the oven at the very beginning of the baking process. So according to him, right, since when we exempt a non-Jew's dough from challah, so that's where when it belonged to the non-Jew during that key period. That key period is not mixing. That key period is when it's baked. So Rabbi Akiva says, even if the ger's dough was prepared before he converted, and he prepared the dough, made the whole dough, it's still chayv and challah. Why? Because at that point, the chiyuv of challah, and then he converts. So he didn't bake it yet. So when he bakes it, when according to Rabbi Akiva, the chiyuv sets in, now he's Jewish. So even if he did the whole kneading with the K process while he was not Jewish, it doesn't it's not necessarily exempt, because if now he converts and he bakes it, that's when the chiyuv sets in. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would disagree, according to this simple understanding of Rabbi Akiva, he would disagree with what we learned in the first Mishnah, which was what? That we spoke about achilas arai. Oh, you're allowed to eat an achilas arai, a casual snack, it's reached its the kneading stage. Well, once it gets to that stage, so now there's going to be an issur of an achilas sarai. So Rabbi Akiva said, no, you're allowed to have an echeles arai, a temporary meal, a snack from it, even after it's mixed. because the chiyuv challah is not there yet. Oh, once it's baked, now there's a problem. That's when the chiyuv challah sets in. And all of the cases that we spoke about dimui, spoke about hekdesh, all of these things will depend on this very issue, whether the chiyuv is when it's baked, or the chiyuv sets in when it's baked, or, as we said before, when you mix it together. There is a Yerushalmi who says that Rabbi Akiva is really not arguing on everything that we said before. Rabbi Akiva does agree that the challah obligation in general does take effect when you mix the dough, as we said in the past. And he agrees with the halachos in Mishnayos 1, 2, and 3. But the Mishnah here, when we're speaking about a dough belonging to a non-Jew, and he says, oh, now what's the halacha now? And he baked it in the possession of the Jew. We spoke about that. So here, and then we speak about a ger as well. That's where Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Why? Because there's a pasuk, according to him, right? The pasuk says, v'haya ba'al chalchem milechem ha'aretz. So what is that pasuk teaching us? Rabbi Akiva says the pasuk is teaching us like this. When do we mention Eretz Melechem Eretz Eretz Yisrael? Ah, then even if you have a dough that was prepared in Chutz Laaretz, where we know there is no Chiv Chala Midoraisa, nonetheless, it's going to be Chayv and Chala if it was baked in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means. Lechem Haaretz. Lechem. It was turned into bread in Eretz Yisrael. So if that's true, when it comes, if you're telling me that the defining moment is what is when it becomes Lechem, that's true when it comes to Chutz Laaretz versus Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to take one extra step. And that is, if I have a dough that was, let's say, prepared, just like the location makes a difference. So the same thing, and the baking is the key factor. So how about the ownership makes a difference? If you have a dough that was prepared when it belonged to a person whose doughs in generally don't have a chiyuv challah, meaning a non-Jew, so it can be obligated if it was baked into bread when it was the possession in someone, right? It's going to be obligated if it, in challah, as long as it was baked into bread when it was in the ownership of someone who generally is chayv to separate challah. So Rabbi Akiva extrapolates and he expands that halacha of milechem haaretz, chutz laaretz, teretz Yisrael, to non-Jew and Jew, and applies the same principle, but that's only in these particular cases and not necessarily defining always the critical point of chiyuv challah at the point of baking. No, maybe he would agree, according to Yerushalmi, that the point would be mixing.